ओम भद्रं कर्णे विश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ ब्रह्मा देवानां प्रथमः सम्बभूव विश्वस्य कर्ता भुवनस्य गोप्ता सब्रह्म विद्यां सर्वविद्याप्रतिष्ठाम् अथर्वाय ज्येष्ठपुत्राय प्राह यु मस्ट् बी एबल् टु रीड् दि मन्त्रा करेक्ट्लि एस् यु रीड् मस्ट् बि एबल् टु गेट् द मीनिङ्ग् आल्सो दि प्रनौन्सियेशन् मस्ट् बि करेक्ट् मन्त्रा दि पास्ट् मस्ट् बि वेर् यु स्टाप् मस्ट् बि वेरि करेक्ट् आल्सो रीड् फ्रम् बिगिनिङ्ग् आल् फोर् मन्त्रा विल् रीड् एण्ड् विल् गो अहेड् ओम् ब्रह्मा देवानां प्रथमसम्बभूव विश्वस्य कर्ता भुवनस्य गोप्ता सब्रह्म विद्यां सर्वविद्याप्रतिष्ठाम् अथर्वाय ज्येष्ठपुत्राय प्राह अथर्वणे यां प्रवदेत ब्रह्मा अथर्वातां पुरोवाच अङ्गिरे ब्रह्म विद्याम् स भारद्वाजाय सत्यवहाय प्राह भारद्वाजोऽङ्गिरसे परावराम् शौनको ह वै महाशालः अङ्गिरसं विधिवदुपसन्नः पप्रच्छ कस्मिन् भगवो विज्ञाते सर्वमिदं विज्ञातं भवतीति तस्मै सहोवाच द्वे विद्ये वेदितौ ये इति हस्मद् यद्ब्रह्मविदो वदन्ति परा चैवापरा च तत्रापरा तद् मन्त्र शौनको ह वै महाशालः अङ्गिरसं विधिवदुपसन्नः पप्रच्छ कस्मिन् भगवो विज्ञाते सर्वमिदं विज्ञातं भवतीति तस्मै सहोवाच द्वे विद्ये वेदितौ ये इति हस्म यद् ब्रह्मविदो वदन्ति परा चैवापरा च तत्रापरा ऋग्वेदो यजुर्वेदः सामवेदोऽथर्ववेदः तत्रापरा ऋग्वेदो यजुर्वेदः सामवेदोऽथर्ववेदः शिक्षाकल्पो व्याकरणं निरुक्तं छन्दो ज्योतिषमिति शिक्षाकल्पो व्याकरणं निरुक्तं छन्दो ज्योतिषमिति अथ परायया तदक्षरमधिगम्यते अथ परायया तदक्षरमधिगम्यते अथ परायया तदक्षरमधिगम्यते ॐ तत्रापरा ऋग्वेदो यजुर्वेदः सामवेदः सामवेदोऽथर्ववेदः शिक्षाकल्पो व्याकरणं निरुक्तं शिक्षाकल्पो व्याकरणं निरुक्तं छन्दो ज्योतिषमिति अत्र परायया तदक्षरमधिगम्यते सो वी हैव सीन अप टू दिस वर्स वी सीन द लिटरल मीनिंग ऑफ द वर्सेस मीनिंग्स मंत्रास अप टू हियर Then the Bhashyam part, I just started. So the question was asked. What was the question asked by whom? Asked to whom? You must remember that. कस्मिन् नु विज्ञाते सर्वं इदं विज्ञातं भवति कस्मिन्नु इदं कस्मिन्नु विज्ञाते सर्वं इदं विज्ञातं भवति What is that? What is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? This was the question asked by Shaunaka, Mahashalaha, the great householder. And who was asked? The Rishi Angiras was asked. It means when the cause is known, the effect becomes known. The cause is known, effect is known as it were. Effect becomes known as it were. Karana jnanena karyam jnatam bhavati. Karanasya jnanena karyam jnatam bhavati. So by knowing the cause, the effect becomes known as it were. What is the example here that can be given? Example given here is, suppose if you know the gold, the ornament made of gold, chain or bangle, all ornaments are known as it were. Karana jnanena karyam jnatam bhavati. So knowledge of the cause, the cause is known, effects are known as it were. Why? Because effects do not have independent existence of their own. There's no such a thing called ornament which can exist independently without the cause. Without the gold, the cause, how can there be ornament, chain or bangle? Any ornament for that matter. Without wood, there cannot be furniture. Without water, there cannot be ocean. Without clay, there cannot be any earthenware, any pot or any earthenware. So without the cause, effect cannot exist independently at all. That is why effect is not countable as a parallel reality. When you say cause is real, effect is mithya. Cause is satyam, karanam is satyam, karyam is mithya. Karanam satyam, karyam mithya. Cause is real, effect is as though real. When I say mithya, how can the word mithya be translated? You cannot translate the word mithya at all into any European language. If at all, you can say mithya is a technical expression used to mean that which is as though real. That which is not really there. That which is as though. As though. Like ocean, the form is as though. What is really is water. So bangle or chain, an ornament is as though. What is really there is, in the form of chain or bangle is gold. So furniture is as though. What is really there is wood. See, what is really there, that which is really there is satyam. That which is as though is mithya. So karanam satyam karyam mithya means the effect is as though, cause alone is. Therefore, even the cause effect, the qualifications are as though. Cause effect qualification. Suppose a gold is the cause of the ornament is gold, and the effect the ornament is effect. All this cause effect also is what as though. Therefore, satyam and mithya, between karanam and karyam, the satyam mithya sambandha. I mean, there's no real sambandha. To talk about the sambandha, to talk about the connection relationship, there must be two independent factors. One must be able to exist independently without the other. If you remove the chain, gold can, the bangle can continue to exist. The bangle is removed, chain can continue to exist. Remove the table, chair can continue to exist. The chair is removed, table can continue to exist. It means existence of one thing is not dependent on another thing. Then you can talk about the relationship between two factors which can exist independently. Whereas we cannot talk about the relationship between the factors which do not have independent existence. For example, with gold can exist independently without being a chain or on bangle, without being an ornament. But an ornament cannot exist independently without the gold. Wood can be without being a furniture, but a furniture cannot exist without the wood. So the effect cannot exist independently without the cause. Is it clear? Therefore, the effect is not countable. Not countable as a parallel reality. You cannot count the cause as one and the effect as number two. Oh, water is one, wave is number two. You can't say it because wave is non-different from water. You cannot count gold as one, ornament, chain or bangle as two, because ornaments do not have independent existence outside of the gold. So also, you cannot count the furniture as number two, or wood is number one, furniture is number two. You can't count the furniture. Why? Because the furniture is non-different from, non-separate from the wood. Ornament is non-separate from the gold. Wave and ocean are non-separate from the water. Effect is non-different, non-separate, inseparable from the cause. Therefore, it doesn't have independent, inseparable. Therefore, effect does not have independent existence. Therefore, effect cannot be counted as a parallel reality. Therefore, cause alone is countable. Okay? Cause alone is countable. Therefore, we have to say cause alone is in the form of the effect means there's neither the cause nor the effect. So, with reference to the entire Jagat, so what is the cause now? Whatever is, there is a cause. So, with reference to the clay pot, clay is cause. With reference to ocean, water is the cause. With reference to furniture, wood is the cause. With reference to ornament, gold is the cause. Then we call such a cause as what? Relative cause. Relative cause. Relatively cause. Now, with reference to this entire Jagat, there's one cause. So what is relative cause? Relative cause is that which has its own cause. Every cause becomes an effect from the standpoint of its cause. Every cause becomes an effect from the standpoint of its own cause. Every cause has its own cause. A cause having another cause is called relative cause. A cause which does not have its own cause. Okay, a causeless, uncaused cause is the absolute cause. What is that cause with reference to there is one cause and which has no beginning? With reference to this, what, the whole Jagat, there's one cause which has no beginning and which has no cause, uncaused, a causeless. And that cause is said to be the absolute cause. It is not relative. It is not cause of one thing. It is the only cause of the entire Jagat. The cause of time, the cause of space, the cause of elements, the cause of elementals. The cause, with reference to everything, that what is that one thing without which there can, this is kasminu vijnate idam sarvam vijnatam bhavati. There's one thing without which there cannot be time. Time cannot exist. Time will, the factor called time will disappear. space will disappear. And whatever form, elements and elementals, forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space, all of them will disappear without one vastu. Like what? If you remove the wood, furniture will disappear. If you remove the water, ocean will disappear. If you remove the gold, ornament will disappear. With reference to the whole jagat, there's one vastu which has no cause. And without which, the entirety of the jagat, the entirety of the cosmos will disappear. And disappear means what? Without which, the universe, the entirety of the cosmos cannot exist at all. And that one vastu is what? The absolute cause. Paramakaranam. Okay, absolute cause. And if by knowing the absolute cause, the whole jagat becomes known as it were. By knowing the absolute cause of the universe, the whole universe becomes known as it were. Is it clear? Because the whole cosmos, the so-called universe, is non-separate, non-different from that one cause. So with reference to one, the whole jagat is one karanam. That cause alone is absolutely satyam, absolutely real. Paramarthikam satyam. Paramarthikam satyam. Absolute reality, absolutely real with reference to this whole jagat. And what about this whole jagat? The whole jagat is mithya. Mithya means what? It is as though real. Mithya is not unreal. What is mithya is not unreal. Okay, unreal is that which does not exist at all is unreal. That which does not exist at all is unreal. Therefore, the whole jagat is not unreal. It is not something, it exists, but it is as though real. It exists depending upon the cause, absolute reality. Therefore, this with reference to the whole jagat, there's one satyam, one sadvastu, that is what is absolute reality, that is real, and by knowing which, the whole cosmos becomes known as it were. Kasmin vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati means this, with reference to the entirety of jagat, universe, there's one cause. Please, until I use the terms, you wait for me to explain, okay? Don't bring in the words which I am not mentioning here. I'm only talking about the word mithya. So, mithya means that which is as though real, not unreal. Let's say Pooja Swamiji always used to emphasize this. I remember now, more I understand, the more I adore Swamiji's carefulness in communicating. See, many people translate this word, okay, the world is unreal. You will read in many English books. The world is unreal. They translate. And they always say asat is unreal. But Pooja Swamiji always used to say very clearly. See, absolutely real. Paramarthikam satyam. And what is the mithya? Vyavaharikam satyam is mithya. Paramarthikam satyam is absolute reality. Vyavaharikam satyam. So what is available for transaction? What is as though real? As though real, seemingly real, apparently real, is Vyavaharikam satyam. Vyavaharikam satyam. And what is, one more reality, I'll explain to electron. What is subjectively real is Pratibhasikam satyam. That is that I have to explain. But what about unreal? What is unreal? That which does not exist at all is unreal. Okay? What is unreal? That which does not exist at all is unreal. Does the universe exist or not? universe exist or not? Does time exist or not? Can you say time doesn't exist? Can you say space doesn't exist? Can you say the jagat, the universe doesn't exist? How can you say that? Why do you say universe exists? Because all the time universe is available for experience. Even though there's a time the universe is not available for experience, but there is a time the universe is available for experience, enjoyment, transaction, interaction. The whole universe is available for interaction, transaction, experience, perception, enjoyment. That is why it is possible for us to go through something called pairs of opposites. If we're all going through the pairs of opposites, it is because this experience is possible. Means what? Whatever is your experience, how can you say it is unreal? So the universe is not unreal. Definitely the universe is not unreal. My hunger and appetite, hunger is not unreal. Appetite is not unreal. My thirst is not unreal. Swamiji used to say, somebody says something is unreal, put the person to starvation. They will ask him, okay? Hunger is not unreal. Thirst is not unreal. Suffering is not unreal. Pain is not unreal. Pleasure is not unreal. Loss and all paths of opposites are not unreal. Then how real are they? Are they real then? No, they are not real also. The world is neither real nor unreal. The world is not unreal because it exists. It does exist. It is available for experience and enjoyment. Therefore, the world, this idam jagat, not unreal. If it is not unreal, is it real then? If it is not unreal, we'll take it as what? Real. No, the world is not real also. Then what is it? Then what is real then? Don't think I'm going away from the topic, okay? I'm very much with the verse. What is real then? The real is that which exists always. Unreal is that which does not exist at all. Real is that which alone always exists. Which alone exists always. When you say which alone exists always, always means what? Beginninglessly, endlessly. That which exists always means that which exists beginninglessly, endlessly. There's neither beginning nor end. So beginningless, endless means what? You have to remember these words are very important. Anadihi, anantaha. Anadihi, adihi yasya nasti. Now I can tell Sanskrit. Adihi yasya nasti. That which does not have adi, beginning, is what? Anadihi. Yasya antaha nasti. That which does not have an end is what? Anantaha, endless. Beginningless, endless means timeless. Anything which has a beginning has time. When it begins, you can say. When it ends, you can talk about the time. Okay? If something has a beginning, you can say what? When it begins, when it ends. It's a beginning and end means it is subject to time. Therefore, that which is beginningless and endless, that which exists always, is anadihi anantaha. That is why we say what? Timeless. Because it is timeless, we say eternal. Absolutely eternal. Beginningless, endless, timeless, absolutely eternal means it's also not subject to any change. Changeless. All is what very important. Beginningless, endless, changeless is real. Now, one more point I have to remember. If that vastu, that reality, absolute reality, which alone is real, has no beginning means, no beginning and no end, no change means, it has no cause. Causeless also. Anything which has a beginning must have a cause. Anything which has a beginning must have a cause. But beginningless does not have a cause. Because what is real? Say, the real is that which has no beginning at all, which doesn't have an end, which is not subject to change, and therefore which has no cause, which is uncaused. Karana rahita. Okay? You can see the beautiful meaning of all the wheels in Chiya Panchak Nakshatra Mala Stotram the day I was chanting on Sivaratri day. I don't know how many of you heard it. You could have heard that. The beautiful Karanam Karananam. But still there's no Karanam. Anyway, that's a different thing. That's why Vedanta Shastra is understood. Then you can enjoy the meaning of the stotras. Otherwise, stotras will be like a cock and bull story. You can't understand really. So, Karanam, he has no beginning, no cause. Okay? So, causeless, beginningless, endless, changeless, that which exists always. Now, one more point. If it has no cause, if it has no beginning, it cannot have a cause. If it does not have a cause, then it has no dependence. Causeless, therefore independent. Okay? Causeless, therefore independent. So, real is that which is absolutely independent. Independent for what? Independent does not dependent on anything else for its existence. It exists. Why does it exist? Next question comes. Why does it exist? Because being existent is the nature. That's why existence, noun, okay? The reality is of the nature of existence. The reality is of the nature of existence because being existent is its nature, which means it is absolutely independent. It has no cause, beginning, no end, no change. This is what is real, okay? And what is real? Now, what about this universe? Why do we say universe is not real? Because universe has a beginning. Universe has an end. Beginning and end means universe comes, goes. And this universe, not only it comes and goes, it doesn't have independent existence. Comes and goes, it doesn't have independent existence. It is dependent on something else for its existence. Therefore, we say with reference to this whole jagat, there's one vastu without which the universe cannot exist at all is satyam. That alone is said to be absolute reality, absolutely real. That is real and the universe is mithya. So that which is empirically, relatively, objectively, apparently real is mithya. And that which is absolutely real is satyam. Paramarthikam satyam, one vastu, absolute reality with reference to everything. Only truth, only reality of the entirety of the universe. Paramarthikam satyam, and that vastu, that which alone is absolutely, is said to be vastu. Okay? Vastu is a very nice word. What is vastu? That which alone is vastu. Vastu means that which is real, reality. And here, not relative reality, absolute reality. Why do you add the word absolute? Because it's an absolute cause. Because everything else, which has the status of being the cause, also has the status of being an effect from the standpoint of another, some other, something else. That is why this is paramarthikam satyam, paramarthikam vastu, and here absolute reality is one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were. And that vastu alone is said to be param brahma. Param brahma. Therefore, here in this answer, the teacher did not give direct answer. What is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? He did not give direct answer. He said, Dve vidye veditavye, the twofold knowledge are to be attained. And what are the one is paravidya, another one is aparavidya. And what is apara? You have to understand the knowledge of anything and everything other than this absolute reality is aparavidya. Means knowledge of the absolute reality alone is paravidya. Knowledge of the absolute reality alone is paravidya. And knowledge of anything and everything other than the reality is aparavidya. Just to say that, he said, all four Vedas, all six Vedangas, all of them come under the category of aparavidya. When you say all four Vedas, means they include, the four Vedas include the Upanishads also. The mantras, which the Upanishad, the concluding part of Veda Shastram, otherwise said to be Vedanta Shastram, consisting of Upanishads, and which serve as means of knowledge of the absolute reality, Param Brahma. Even the Upanishadic words come under the category of aparavidya. Then what is paravidya? That's what is a yaya vidyaya. I have to explain to you the rest of the words. But yaya vidyaya aksharam adhigamyate sa paravidya. Is it clear now? Yaya vidyaya. What is yaya? Ya. Dakarantaha strilingaha yad shabdaha. Tasya shabdasya tritiya vibhaktau ekavachane yaya iti rupam. Have you all got it now? Ya, yam, yaya, yasyai. It is dictionable like that. Ya, now sa, yesha, you learnt all these pronouns. What is ya? Yad is a pronoun, that which. For that, in feminine gender you have ya. Dakarantaha, strilingaha, yad shabdaha, tasya shabdasya, pratamaya bhaktu, ekavachane, ya iti rupam, tityaya bhaktu, yaya iti rupam. So, yaya vidyaya. So, yad means that which. So, ya, that which, she who. Is it? So, yaya vidyaya, that knowledge by which aksharam adhigamyate. Aksharam adhigamyate sa para vidya. So, para vidya, absolute knowledge is that by which the imperishable is understood. Is it clear? So, aksharam, the word aksharam is used to mean Brahma. Aksharam means what? I don't know whether I explained last class. Na ksharati iti aksharam. So, that which does not perish is aksharam. And this absolute reality is implied by the term aksharam. Brahman alone, absolute reality, implied by the term Brahman or Atma, is also implied by another term, aksharam. Any word implying the reality is what? Implies reality in terms of its nature. Aksharam implies reality in terms of its nature of imperishability. Therefore, yaya vidyaya aksharam adhigamyate sa paravidya. That is paravidya by which aksharam is understood, imperishable is understood, known, avagamyate, Avagamyate is a passive verb. Avagamyate is understood. What is understood? Aksharam. That knowledge by which the imperishable reality, the absolute reality is understood is paravidya. Paravidya itself, knowledge of the absolute reality is absolute knowledge. What does the word paravidya mean? Absolute knowledge. Knowledge of the absolute reality is absolute knowledge. And knowledge of anything and everything other than the absolute reality is what? Aparavidya, relative knowledge. Indirect knowledge, relative knowledge. Relative knowledge. Therefore, then, what about aparavidya? So we simply I can say, yaya vidyaya aksharam adhigamyate sa paravidya. That knowledge by which the absolute reality, the imperishable reality is understood is paravidya. Means, the knowledge is paravidya. Means, what is knowledge? So knowledge of the absolute reality is paravidya. What is knowledge? Knowledge obtained, knowledge rises in the form of a thought. See, knowledge of anything should, has to rise only in the form of a thought. Knowledge of any object has to rise in the form of a thought only. So knowledge of the reality also has to rise only in the form of a thought. A cognition. Knowledge has to rise in the form of a thought. Therefore, cognition a knowledge of the reality and for which the subject matter is what? Here, absolute reality, Brahma. What is the reality? What is, how can we arrive at the reality? What is the reality implied by the term Brahma, Atma, Aksharam? That we have to understand. But before that, what is aparavidya? Knowledge of relative reality. So, all Vedas, and also all the Vedangas, all of them stand for the entirety of every knowledge of anything in the world. Aparavidya. So even the disciplines which form the aparavidya, even the Veda Shastram consisting of the disciplines. So Veda Shastram presents two different disciplines. We take the entire Veda Shastram, whether it's Yajurveda, Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharvana Veda, take all the four Vedas. All the four Vedas together teach only two disciplines. There's no third discipline. Okay? Only two disciplines. Yogadvayam. Veda Shastram Yogadvayam Bodhayati. Only two. Yogadvayam means two disciplines. Dvau Yoga or Yogadvayam. Only two disciplines are taught by the entirety of the Veda. So what are these two disciplines? Is a Karma Yoga. Jnana Yoga. So, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Now, instead of talking about Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharvana Veda, I'm just telling you, you understand all four Vedas together taken as one word Veda. Because Veda is generally only one. We don't have many Vedas. Only one Veda was there originally. And the mantras were later on compiled by Vyasacharya and divided into four. Really speaking, Veda is only one. So if you take all four Vedas, okay, Vedas together, you can say all four Vedas together teach importantly what? Two disciplines. Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. So Karma Yoga is also what? Aparavidya. Jnana Yoga is what?
the two disciplines taught in Vedashastra comes under the category of Aparavidya. So what is Karma Yoga for? What is Jnana Yoga for? What are these two disciplines for? Of course, you all know very well in Bhagavad Gita, I have really repeated so many times, Karma Yoga is a way of life. Way of life. And Karma Yoga is a discipline, one which must be followed choicelessly. Choicelessly it must be followed by every human being in order to prepare one's mind for the attainment of jnanam, in order to have mental purification. Shastram knows. Shastram does not find fault with people who have impurements. Shastram already knows every human being is basically helplessly impure minded. Okay, the proportion may vary from person to person. There's no mind who's absolutely pure mind. That's why Purushottama is only Bhagavan. Okay, we're all Purusha. We all have human beings. Purushottama is only Bhagavan. So because all the minds have their own, its own limitations. That's why the impurities, absolutely impure minded person is not there. So they all have to grow gradually, have to become pure minded. Therefore, the Karma Yoga is a discipline to be followed by human beings to become mentally pure, adequately pure, to prepare oneself for jnana. And there we have Jnana Yoga. And what about in between we have an Upasanam? Upasanam also should be included in the Karma Yoga itself. Because Upasanam also is nothing but meditation. Meditation is a mental activity. Meditation also should be included in karma, which is for mental steadiness. But so Karma Yoga is for mental preparation. Now what about Jnana Yoga? Jnana Yoga is the only discipline which has to be choicelessly followed for the attainment of jnanam. No traditional acharya will ever accept you can just go sit and do meditation, attain jnanam. No. Shastram does not accept it. So one has to go through the discipline of Jnana Yoga to attain the knowledge. Why? The knowledge itself is freedom. Knowledge and freedom are identical. And to attain Jnana, to discover freedom, one has to attain Jnana, discover the truth, which is called knowledge, attainment of knowledge. And attainment of knowledge, for that one has to go through the discipline of Jnana Yoga. And Jnana Yoga, what is Jnana Yoga? Being given to the pursuit of Jnana. And for which one has to go through the three steps involved. We all know very well, Shravanam, Mananam, Vidhyasanam. One has to go through the discipline of Shravanam first. There's no, you can't change the order. Can he do mananam later on first and do sravanam afterwards? No, it's not possible. One has to do sravanam first. Sravanam, it means one has to listen to the unfoldment of the meanings of the Upanishad, words of the Upanishad. One has to listen to the unfoldment of the meanings of the words of the Upanishads systematically, regularly, for a length of time. From a competent teacher. Teacher who knows the method of unfoldment. Sampradaya with teacher. This is called Shravanam. And the Shastram says, if you are really given to the discipline of listening to the unfoldment of the meanings of the words of the Upanishads for length of time, definitely you can't afford to be ignorant. Ignorance has to be resolved. What will Shravanam do? Shravanam will help a person resolve the ajnanam. Ignorance will resolve. I never use the word ignorance be destroyed, okay? Ignorance resolves. Shravanam will contribute for ajnana nivrittihi. Ajnana nivrittyartham shravanam. What is shravanam for? Ajnana nivrittyartham shravanam. Don't think I'm wasting your time. I'm explaining the four Vedas. Okay? Ajnana nivrittihi. Shravanam contributes for அஜ்ஞான நிவர்த்திஹி, ரெசல்யூஷன் ஆஃப் இக்னரன்ஸ். பட் டஸ் நாட் மீன் ஸ்ரவணம் இட் செல்ஃப் இஸ் எனஃப். இஃப் எ ஸ்டூடெண்ட் இஸ் உத்தம அதிகாரி, உத்தமோத்தம அதிகாரி, ஓகே, ட்ரெமெண்டஸ்லி ஹைலி ஹைலி எலிஜிபிள் ஸ்டூடெண்ட், மீன் லைக் ஹூ ஹாஸ் அ ஸ்பாஞ்ச் மைண்ட், ஓகே, லைக் விவேகானந்தா. Vivekananda has to look at the page. All the contents would have gone to his mind. Such a tremendous concentration. See, he is Vivekananda, not an ordinary person. Amazing. See, I just, when I heard about Vivekananda, I used a lot. He has to just look into the page. He reads, he sees the page, the contents gets imprinted in the, all the content of the whole page becomes imprinted in the mind of, in his mind. Yes, he has to turn the pages. The book will be over. Finished. That is Vivekananda. Uttamottamadhikari. Okay? So, the adhikari, adhikaritum, the student is tremendously highly eligible. Then, Shravanam itself is enough for him, it seems. But Shastram itself says, such a student is very, very, very rare. Viralaha. Okay, Uttamottam Adhikari is very, 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 very rare. Then Mandamadhyam Adhikari, mediocre student. And for him, Shravanam is not enough. Of course, Shravanam, Mandamadhyam Adhikari itself is considered to be a great student. Uttamottama Adhikari, very difficult to find. Just don't worry about it. And don't worry. Oh my God, I'm not Uttamottama Adhikari. Don't worry about all those things. Mandamadhyam Adhikari, the student who is not adequately prepared or relatively okay. And such a student, Shravanam will help him resolve the ignorance, which means he has Jnanam. Shravanam will bless a person with the knowledge of the contents of the subject matter of the Upanishad. But still, there will be so many unresolved doubts. After going through the discipline of Shravanam, the person will have Jnanam. After going through the discipline of Shravanam, one cannot say, still I'm ignorant. No. Definitely ignorance goes. Which means knowledge rises. Knowledge rises, ignorance resolves, but still doubts also will remain along with the knowledge. The doubts in what has been heard and understood. Understood, but doubts are also there. That these doubts are caused by people of different other schools of thought also. People who are given different schools of thought. They all have their own views and contentions. So they can come and argue with you. They can shake your understanding. Is it clear? Therefore, some other person of other different school of thought comes and argues with you, talks to you. And then you may get shaken. Your understanding may be shaken. Which means doubts, doubtful knowledge. After Shravanam, doubtful knowledge will be there. Before Shravanam, there was only ignorance. There was no knowledge at all. After Shravanam, one has doubtful knowledge. So, Samshaya Purvakam Jnanam. Then what happens? Then you go to the next discipline called Mananam. This is when the Mananam is another discipline. You have done Shravanam for length. Shravanam means listening. So, after listening, Paunah Punyena Shravanam. Kritva, having done Shravanam repeatedly for length of time, having covered quite a lot of texts, having understood the contents of the teachings, the paddhatis and prakriyas and all that, a person has quite a good understanding of subject matter, okay, quite a mastery of the subject matter, but still some doubts are there. And the knowledge can be considered knowledge only if it is doubt-free knowledge. Therefore, Shastram prescribes the next step of going through the mananam, the being given to the discipline of mananam. So, mananam is actually reflecting upon the teaching which has been already heard and understood, thereby able to resolve the doubts one has. Also, being able to see the fallacies in other schools of thought also. If at all somebody else comes and, comes and tries to shake your knowledge, you must be able to see the fallacy in other person's understanding. With due respect to other person's understanding, you can still see the fallacy or limitations. This is called mananam. Okay? Mananam. So, mananam will remove what? Samshaya nivrittihi. So, shravanena ajnana nivrittihi happens. Mananena samshaya nivrittihi happens. Mananena samshaya nivrittihi bhavati. Shravanena ajnana nivrittihi bhavati. Kasya nivrittihi kena bhavati. You must remember. Kasya nivrittihi kena bhavati. Ajnanasya nivrittihi shravanena bhavati. Samshayanam nivrittihi mananena bhavati. Isn't it? Then even after having gone through the discipline of mananam also, even after having all the doubts resolved also, even if a person has a clear doubt-free knowledge also, still this knowledge may not be handy enough. That one may not be able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. See, initially you have started with ajnanam. Having gone to the discipline of shravanam, you have resolved ajnanam. You have knowledge but doubtful knowledge. Then going through the mananam for length of time with the help of the teacher. Shravanam and mananam, both disciplines must be gone through with the help of the teacher. Okay. Guroho sahayena shravanam mananam shravanam manane kuryat. Guroho sahayena. Okay. With the help of the teacher, one has to go to these two disciplines. After going through mananam, now no more doubts. All samshaya nivrittihi. Removal of resolution of all the doubts happen. Which means all the doubts also will become resolved after manana. Means you have clear knowledge. Once the clear knowledge is there, then you must be able to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge. Even after that, sometimes people are not able to enjoy the benefit of jnanam. Why? Because if you are not able to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge, what is the use of knowledge? You must be able to enjoy the freedom which you already have as your own surupam. Still you feel as though you were limited and bound. That is because Shastram says there's another problem we have. Okay, another problem we have. So in the beginning, of course, we always understand erroneous self-perception is the cause of our problems. And the error is caused by what? Wrong identity, and the wrong identity is because of the self-ignorance. So ignorance caused error, causes the samsara problems. But even after having gone through shravanam and mananam, there's no more ignorance. So ignorance caused error is not there. But still, why a person is not able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge? Because there's still error in the perception of the person. There's still error on the part of the person. Error, what error? No more ignorance. How can there be error? Yes, ignorance caused error is not there, but habit caused error is there. Is it clear? Habit caused error is there. Therefore, that habit caused error is called viparyayaha. Viparyayaha. Viparyayaha means what? error, habit caused error. And the habit caused error has to be resolved. Habit caused error, even though I clearly see I am Atma, I am the whole, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Satyam, Jagan Mithya, and the Jagat is not different from me. Even if it is come, it is there. Then what is there? There is no second, absolutely there is no second thing other than my Swarupam. There is no second thing other than the Atma. All that is, there is only Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. I am the truth. All that is, there is only the truth. And second thing, there is no second thing other than the truth. Whatever is there, a second thing is only Mithya. So Mithya being independent on Satyam, Mithya cannot cause any harm to Satyam. Everything is very clear. It means that you can't afford to be frightened anymore. There cannot be fear at all. Still there is fear. Why? Because it's called what? Samshaya Nivritti has happened. But still it has not sunk. Which means it has yet to be assimilated, ascertained. Because Viparyaya, because of the Viparyaya, habit caused error is there. Therefore, in order to remove this habit caused error, why there's a habit? Because before Ajnana Nivrittihi, for ages, Janmantra, in many births before we have had a very strong identity with Anatma. Even in this Janma, until Shravanam, you had strong identity with the Anatma. And slowly you have understood the fact. But still, it is not that easy to change your habits. Changing the habit, breaking the habit needs tremendous practice. Conscious practice. That is why. So what one must have definitely gone through Shravanam and Mananam, one must have very clear, doubt-free knowledge of one's own nature being Atma Brahma. And then one must repeatedly, constantly, consciously dwell upon the fact which one has clearly understood. So constantly, repeatedly, consciously dwelling upon the fact one has clearly, doubtlessly understood is called Nididhyasanam, contemplation, is the third discipline. In one discipline of Jnana Yoga consists of three steps. The third step is what? Nididhyasanam, which is, so Nididhyasanam is for what? Viparyaya Nivrittihi. Nothing is attained, only Nivritti. Okay? Shravanam does Ajnana Nivrittihi, resolution of ignorance. Mananam does Samshaya Nivrittihi, resolution of doubts. Resolution of ignorance, resolution of doubts. And Nididhyasanam does what? Viparyaya Nivrittihi, resolution of the habit caused error. So Ajnana Nivrittihi, Samshaya Nivrittihi, Viparyaya Nivrittihi. So Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. And for Nididhyasanam, we do not require a teacher. Nididhyas, that is why you don't need a teacher. They say, all those people always, they say, you are guru to yourself. All people confused, okay? When you don't need a teacher. If you have successfully done the Shravanam, then okay. So you don't need a teacher means what? After Shravanam and Mananam, when you have got all understanding, clear understanding, you've got all the doubts clarified. All that you need to do is you have to resolve the habit caused error for which your teacher cannot make you eat it, okay? You have to dwell upon what the teacher has already clarified thoroughly. So you have to just be with yourself. Just be with the fact which you have clearly understood. And this what it is, it's consciously, constantly, repeatedly dwelling upon the fact which you already understood through Shravanam and Mananam. And so this, when you do it for length of, how long should I be contemplative? The question comes. Okay? Until and unless this wisdom, vision becomes ascertained, assimilated. When, how can I understand whether I have assimilated or not? How can I understand? You are able to be objective, you have assimilated. If objectivity is there, you have assimilated it. Object being, if you are able to be objective means what? You are not internalizing the situations. You are able to remain unafflicted, unaffected by situations. You are able to be objective. You are not internalizing. Then knowledge has served its purpose. You are free. Irrespective of where you are, how you are, what is there, you are free. Means you don't achieve anything here. You just, you will just be yourself. You will be just be yourself means you don't achieve anything, attain anything here. After Nididhyasanam, you'll just be yourself. Then, that is the Nididhyasanam. So, Shravanam, Mananam, ultimately, the whole Vedic study should contribute for what? Now, mental, Vedic study will enable, help you understand the way of life, thereby prepare your mind, and finally gradually help you understand what you are, what the world is, what Bhagavan is, how everything is essentially one. And in the understanding, you resolve your own individuality, so you become one with the truth, one with Bhagavan. So you discover your freedom. So this is the Veda. And to understand this Veda, this is the core, is called core vision of the Veda Shastra. So even all the mantras they teach is what? Aparavidya only. All four Vedas. Okay? And what about the Vedangas? We have to understand the Vedangas. So, Siksha. Siksha. So, Siksha means, Siksha itself means science of phonetics. Science of phonetics is called Siksha. Science of knowledge of science of sounds. The knowledge of swaras, intonation. And you have to learn few things. In Taittiriya Upanishad, as so beautifully it is mentioned. What? Atha siksham vyakhya syamaha. One line to explain what is siksha. We understand there are some factors which constitute one word siksha. But generally we say siksha, science of phonetics. So science of phonetics means what are all the factors we need to understand. I'll explain that. Siksha. Vyakaranam. Kalpaha. In fact, when I say one has to siksha itself is a discipline. Vedanga. There you have to learn the sounds, a sound, letters. The letter in Sanskritam is called Varnaha. Varna Jnanam. You have to learn the letters correctly. Ta, tha, da, dha. What are the gutturals? What are the palatals? What are the dentals? What are the cerebrals? What are the, libials? What are the diphthongs? What are femivowels? Learning the all the varnas. Science of phonetics involves knowledge of letters, knowledge of sounds. It's called Varnaha, Varna Jnanam. Then Swaraha, Swara Jnanam. Swaraha means what? Udattaha, Anudattaha, Swaritaha. In Chani Vedasana, Udatta, Anudatta, Swaritaha, Swara Jnanam. Knowledge of the intonation, Swaras, Swara Jnanam. That is only Siksha today, okay, first. Varna Jnanam, Swara Jnanam, then Matra Jnanam. Matra Jnanam. Matra means meter. Then Balam. Balam means strength. The effort involved in uttering, one must have the knowledge of the effort involved in pronouncing these sounds. Then Sama. Santanaha. So Santana is the proximity of letters. How one must understand. I'll recite and show you next class. Okay? This last bit. So what exactly is science of phonetics? I'll brief in next class before I go to the next lesson. Okay? Siksha. Then we have, let me explain Siksha first. Then I'll go to Kalpa, Vyakaranam, everything. I'll give you a brief note on each Vedanga. Just, is important to know all these things? No. They all come under the category of Aparavidya. Oh my God, Kasminna Vijnate, the Sarvam Vijnata Bhavati. We are interested only in that. Why do you delay it like this? Okay. You feel like that is how Upanishad teaches. The teacher did not say, you don't know that. What is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes one as it were? You don't know that Brahman. The teacher did not say that. Dve vidye veditavye parachaiva paracha. The teacher did not give direct answer. So how am I expected to give a direct answer? So I had to also go slowly. Okay. So let us start with the Vedangas next class. Beginning with Siksha. I just introduced Siksha. I give you all topics and I'll discuss. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.